I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair, and she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you hear at night, it's not somebody who's seen the light, it's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah!
And that was Hallelujah, a song by Leonard Cohen, covered by Jeff Buckley. And you guys know the story of Jeff Buckley, probably. I've talked about him many times on this show, but he died too soon in the Wolf River in Mississippi, I believe it is. And anyways, I love him so much. Anyway, so I'm so happy to do this show tonight. I was talking to my friend Beth last night, and I'm going to bring her on now. She's in Virginia. Hi, Beth.
Hey.
So we were. Can I tell people that you were like, are you an atheist still, or are you still questioning if there's an afterlife or a God?
You know, I don't even know what to call me anymore. I was actually just thinking about this a few minutes ago because it looks to me like when I'm thinking about like the just you know my progression in a matter of months, maybe close to a year or so, I think I've gone from total skeptic to somebody who's absolutely open with a side of skepticism. Like that's my side salad, you know. My entree is my mind is completely open. I've learned a lot of things in a short amount of time from quite a few people, and it's kind of awesome.
It is, man. It is. And, you know, I never tried to talk you into life after death or anything like that. But, I mean, certainly we have seen proof of it. But anyways, so I said to Beth last night, I said, Beth, do you have questions? And she said, I have a lot of questions. I said, write some down and I'll try to answer them the best I can. So what did you, first of all, did you watch that Bob Olson interview with Robert Schwartz?
Not yet, but he's actually the author of the audiobook that I've been listening to. And
oh, wow.
I started listening to it a couple of days ago, and now I for the last couple of days, whenever I get a break, I've been driving around in my car so that I could listen to it because it's just easier to ride around in the car and listen to audiobooks. But, I really love this book so far. But it has – this is actually the book that has brought up some of my questions that I was thinking about. And I was actually talking about it with my son last night. And he's like, yeah, I have that question too. So it's pretty cool.
Right.
I think maybe I'm only about a – maybe not even a third of the way through the book, and I just love it.
What is it called, Beth?
It's called Answers About the Afterlife, and it's on. I've been listening to it on Audible.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Okay, so what are some of the questions you have? And it's so funny that you're on tonight because Renee is actually in the chat room. And
cool.
You know,
hey, Renee.
Brag about Renee all the time, don't I, Beth?
Yes.
You're like, yeah, so I'm sick of hearing about her. Anyways.
No, not at all.
So what kind of questions did you have?
So, all right, this is something that I had not considered before, this is actually something I had never heard before. The fact that we have a pre-birth plan before we're born as humans. And the fact that, you know, if we have a pre-birth plan, why would anyone plan to be a serial killer? I'm like, what the heck was, what's his name? What's the guy's name? Ted Bundy. What the heck was he thinking? And what were his spirit guides thinking? You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, so from what I've understood so far, it's, you know, the whole point is to become a human so you can experience things. Your spirit can have experiences, right? Why would anybody want to experience killing a lot of people? That's something I just don't get.
Well, yeah, and that's that's a question a lot of people ask, you know, and not
is
that
it?
I have all the answers. Yeah, totally. Not that I have all the answers, of course, you know what I mean? I've just been studying this for quite some time, and I can tell you what I've heard. So if you come here and you're Hitler or Ted Bundy, you're like, okay, so we all have free will. I don't think anyone, I don't know how to put this. I don't think anyone plans to be a murderer or anything like that, but it's like you have free will, like the ability to be good or bad, and some people just choose to go the other way. Now, this could also have to do with what in your last lifetime, the lifetime before they got here, maybe something happened in that lifetime that triggered this murdering spree, or do you know what I'm saying? So it's very complicated, very complicated. So I think, I'm not exactly positive why people come to Earth and they turn so dark, because I know we're all born perfect. We're all born, you know, like Renee has often said, we all have the same light, okay?
Yeah.
And why some people choose to take this dark route, it's a mystery, really. But, I mean, it could have something to do with their previous life. It could have something to do with somebody that they've killed, their kind of thing, like their I'm not saying 6 million Jews, they didn't all do something that they would, no one deserves to be murdered. Let's put that out there. But, it has so much, there's so many other avenues where this is concerned, where, somebody comes to Earth and they decide to cause destruction. I think here's what I do think, Beth, is that everything happens for a reason and has a purpose. And I think that we cannot figure out the labyrinth of our lives until we're gone. So
that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
I know that's kind of a cop out from your question. But,
not really.
I
kind of feel like, it's like a big old spider web, where everybody's experiences and lives are intertwined in a way. So, I guess if, a person who was murdered, maybe they planned to be murdered because they wanted to experience that, and so they were put in this person's path. You know what I'm saying? That's how it kind of makes sense to me, even though it's awful, to us, but maybe, it's only awful to us because we're human beings right now. That's what I'm kind of getting from this book.
Right, exactly. I mean, so if he probably talks about the same kind of thing as the interview that I sent you to watch, in other words, these things happen in our lives, right? We never know when something good's going to happen. We never know when something bad's going to happen. But certainly we have, like I said before, everything has a purpose and a meaning, and it's just like you will never figure it out as you're here while you're on Earth as a human being. So anyways, I didn't quite answer that question very well, but...
No, you did fine. That really helped me to understand it, really, because I'm kind of working through the process as you're talking. So,
right. Okay. So, did you have another question?
Well, I mean, it kind of does bring me to the next question. This subject, because in the book that I'm listening to, he talks about the fact that hell is only a human construct. It's something that, we've invented for ourselves, and that there really isn't any such thing as hell. So what made, you know, I started wondering, I'm like, well, what about demons? Where do they, are they even real, and where do they come from? You know, I mean, and is there a
right.
devil, you know? We've
right.
always, you know, I
yeah.
grew up thinking, you know, you don't want to go to the devil.
I know, right? So
yeah.
that's another really good question, really popular question. So in my opinion, and a lot of this, I've talked to Renee about a lot of this, so a lot of this kind of comes from learning from her. And so anyway, I just want to put that out there because I know she can hear me and that's absolutely fine. I mean, so she, you know, we both agree that there is no hell unless you think you belong in hell. Okay.
Right.
In fact, yesterday I was sitting out in front here and this guy came over that lives here and he started talking about Jesus and how, you know, you have to ask for forgiveness from Jesus. You're never going to get to heaven if you don't ask for forgiveness. And he was a holy roller. You know what I mean?
Oh boy.
And so I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't even bother to argue with him, but anyways, whatever. So, but I did try to say to him, there is no hell. And, you know, as far as demons and devils, I think that we can encounter dark beings. I do think that they exist, but I
mm-hmm.
think that unless you allow that to take place or to manifest in your life, then you're kind of protected from that. I mean, I know, like, for instance, Renee, when she started doing this work, she said that she had encountered these scary-looking beings, these really, but she didn't realize that it was just her, I think she said it was her fear that had created them. We create a lot of kind of scary things in our lives, right, from our fears, from
mm-hmm.
our worries, from things like this. And so I think that that's where those are created from. It could be even from a collective fear, like say you die and you like say like when you die, you had murdered a bunch of people or something like that. And but you realize deep inside, like, I don't belong in any place that's good. I belong.
Right.
In a,
yeah.
kind of like a dungeon, you know what I mean? So that's where you're going to find yourself. So I don't know. It's like, and I feel like there's so many different kinds of heaven, if that's what you want to call the afterlife, heavens. There's like so many different levels of it. And, you know, so it's just a weird, it's just, you know, you can't even imagine. We can't, like, no one really knows what the hell happens. I mean, people have died and come back and said what they saw. So most people say they saw beautiful things. They felt love. They felt warm. Other people, fewer people have come back and said they experienced a hellish existence. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a crapshoot.
I mean, I wonder, though, you know, the people who have experienced something hellish, if that's not what they were expecting, you know, because for whatever reason, they were taught that, you know, if you're bad, you're going to go to hell, or, you know, if they really felt like they've been bad people their entire lives, they're expecting to go to hell, maybe, and that's the reality they make, you know.
Exactly, and I think that's we can create heaven on earth for ourselves, and we can create hell and heaven on the other side.
We
you know,
can create
I mean,
hell here, too.
Right, right. It's like that saying that I always say, you don't see the world as it is, as it truly is. We don't see the world as it truly is. We see the world as we are.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, so that, you know, I think that that applies also on the other side. It's like, what do you expect you're going to see? Are, you know, I mean, even if you're afraid, but you feel like, you know, what, you know, I just want to chill out. I just want to see my dead loved ones and, you know, feel peace. I mean, so, you know, I'd really like to talk to somebody that experienced hell with a near-death experience, but I haven't mm-hmm. Gotten around to finding anyone like that yet. But, yeah, so did that answer the question? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, basically, yeah. It's, I mean, I just, like, these are kind of open-ended questions, too, and I know there's really no true, you know, one true answer, but it's just the things that, you know, as I'm listening to this book and learning a lot of this stuff that I've never heard before, I mean, a lot of it makes sense, but then every once in a while, like, while I'm riding around listening to, you know, these things, I'm like, oh, shut up, and I push pause, and I talk to myself in the car, and, you know, I'm at a stoplight or whatever, and people are looking at me like, what is she doing? And, you know, I figure, thank God for Bluetooth, because then they think I'm on the phone, right? But, yeah, right. So I'm like, I pause it, and then I talk back to, and I have to, you have to look at the radio in your car, too, when you talk back to them, because that's how they hear you. But, you know, when I have these questions, you know, I mean, at one point, like, you know, the other day, I was like, wait a minute. This sounds like you just made all this stuff up to make yourself feel better. I mean, I really did. I stopped at the stoplight, I pushed the pause button, and I said that to my radio. but the thing is, though, you know, as I'm listening to this, you know, questions come up, and, you know, then I think through the process, and it's really kind of cool because, you know, I mean, the more I listen to it, the more answers I get, actually, you know. So mm-hmm. I know it's an ongoing process. It's just, this is just something I've started exploring recently, so I know, I mean, I have a lot of reading and thinking to do, and it's kind of, you know, really kind of fun to think about. I'm excited about it. So I don't expect, like, you know, 100% concrete answers anyway. So, but you have helped clarify some of the things I've been wondering about.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Okay, so, like, what, you know, is it, like, anything else that maybe I could try to answer?
Hold on, I got to take my glasses off again. I can't read things with my glasses on it, isn't that stupid? I have a bunch of notes written here, and I can't read my handwriting. I did want to share this. This is really interesting. I was talking to my middle son about this last night, and he told me, this is what he said, this 24-year-old kid, he said, you know what, Mom? Life is like a video game. You create your character, and then you play as that character, and that's it. And I thought that was really wise for somebody who's just, you know, a 24-year-old kid. I thought that was really smart.
Yeah.
Because it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It does. It really does, you know. It's like, I don't know what the hell I chose to do, but whatever.
Right? I was wondering that, too. I'm like, wait, I'm picturing myself as, like, my spirit self before I'm born. And I'm like, all right, well, I've got a notebook here, and I'm like, well, let's write down, you know, we're going to do this, and, you know, for the heck of it, we're going to be poor for a while. That'll be fun, you know, things like that. And I just think it's really interesting.
It is. I mean, well, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, so even when I look at people who have, like, a lot of money or, you know, money doesn't equate to happiness at all. We know that. But I mean, when I look at people who have had an easy life, like seemingly easy life, that they didn't really have to suffer much and whatever. But, I mean, you know, there's something to be said for people that don't have a lot of money because, really, that's a much more interesting life, you know. And I know people will be like, yeah, it's really interesting when you can't pay your bills. But, I mean, really, it's, like, challenging and I'm still a believer in that if you are challenged in life, it's like you're growing so much more than someone that isn't challenged, that doesn't have to face this sort of emptiness, eviction, anything like that, or loss of loved ones or something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, you know, and what do you think, Beth, about the whole, I don't know if you know about this, but do you believe that we exist on different timelines? Like you're actually carrying on a life on another timeline right now or a few lives?
I haven't heard anything about that yet. I mean, I've read a few things that allude to it, but I haven't really gotten into that. That is just like way too complex for my brain right now.
Right. Okay. Because I do think that we live on different timelines, you know? I mean, it's interesting. Well, okay, so I'll tell you, I'm going to bring up Renee again here. So Renee was giving a reading to me and a friend of mine who's our friend passed away. And so he came through and he said, I said to him, like I'm always asking, am I ever going to find someone to be in love with? So he said, through Renee, he said, I was actually carrying on another life where I was married, happily married with children. And I said, okay, that made me feel better for some reason. And,
wow.
But then he said, the reason you're in this life, this one where I'm talking to you from right now, is because you have control over this life and the other life you don't have any control over.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, wow. So that actually made me feel better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's something I'm going to have to look into. Wow. I mean, I have like a whole long list. I'm not going to be bored at any point for any time soon.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. Oh, believe me, you're not. I mean, I'm so glad that, you know, I mean, not that I talked you into anything or anything, but I'm so glad that your mind is open and that
mm-hmm.
you're willing to, you know, to kind of explore the subject because I just, like, I always think about people that are atheists or just don't believe in anything, like an afterlife or anything, and I'm like, how, you know, I can't even imagine being like that person. It's like nothing against them, but it's just like how boring, you know? How
it's really no fun.
Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I can give you a little history on why I got to that point, because I think you know already that I was raised like Southern Baptist, right? And
yeah.
You know, I grew up that way, and I grew up believing in, you know, there's heaven, there's hell, and, you know, all the basics, right? And over the years, I guess, as an adult, as bad things happened, I started to be like, you know what, why would God, who loves us, allow this to happen? So I kept asking myself that over and over and over again. And, I would always – it depend on, you know, who I was friends with at the time, you know, if those people – were, you know, dependent on what they felt and what they thought, because I was influenced by those people, as, you know, we're always influenced by the people around us. And, you know, so I would go back and forth and back and forth for years over whether or not do I believe in God? Do I make my mother upset by saying I don't believe in God? Or do I, you know, do this and just go along with the flow or, you know, whatever. And the deciding moment for me was, all right, so my friend Beth, who she was my oldest friend, we'd known each other since, I think, fourth grade, and she had cancer, and she fought the cancer for about, like, 3 years. And when she died, I think that was like the one deciding moment for me when I just like finally said, you know what? I don't think there's anything, because if there were, she would not be dead. And that's just the way I thought about it at the time. And I think that came out of anger and grief that my friend was gone. But, you know, that's when I just said, you know what? It's a whole lot easier just to say that that's it. There's nothing. And so for a long time, I was adamant that, and I had to actually kind of talk myself into it too. So it's a little weird that I needed to convince myself of what I wanted to believe in at the time. But I think there's always been that fascination with, you know, things that can't be explained necessarily. So I think it's just ingrained in my personality to become open to it again. And I think that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, I hope. But, you know,
no,
I feel a whole lot more comfortable with the way I feel now than I did, say, 3 years ago. So that I think that says something.
Wow. Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, so, like, I've always been into this, but it definitely increased when my mom died. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then my dad died. And then I lost friends. And we're, you know, you guys, if you guys don't know, me and Beth are friends with this woman that is actually dying right now. And her name's Lisa. And it's been really such a weird thing. Beth went to see her a few weeks ago, and you know, that was awesome that you did that, Beth, you know.
Oh, it was such a gift, anyway, I swear, to be able to go.
I bet.
Oh my God.
I bet. So she's like, so we're like, you know, we expected her to be gone already, like, months ago. And then she's hanging on. But she said something to our friend the other day, Janice. You know, when she said to Janice, you have no idea how good it's going to be?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
So, right. And, like, you know, because remember when I asked Renee to give me something that I could tell Lisa or whatever, and Renee said her mom's there, and we know Annie's there. You know, Annie's waiting for her. But, I mean, it's just really, you know, I just want her to be at peace and to feel comfortable and, you know, to realize, you know, that it's okay. You know, it's going to be amazing for her. Like, she's got a whole new life ahead. And I think all of us do once we leave this realm. We all have a whole new life. And, I mean, I don't know. You know, I feel sometimes when I'm talking like this to people, I feel like I'm, I don't know. I feel like people think I'm crazy or something or whatever. But, I mean, the thing is, I have to believe. I don't have to believe in anything, but I want to believe because I truly, in my heart, know I've had all the proof I need that there is an afterlife. I have all the proof I need that there's an afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, of course, tell anyone else your story and make them believe, but I know. And Renee, I'm sorry I keep bringing you up, but it is really, Renee has been the catalyst to really making me know that there's definitely an afterlife, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I hope that you can talk to her at some point, Beth, you know?
Yes, I really want to. I mean, that brings to mind, too, one of the things that I noted in the in Bob Olson's book that I'm listening to is the difference between proof and evidence. So, like, proof is a whole different word. People interchange proof and evidence, but those words are not, they don't mean the same thing. And it's all based on an individual experience. So this is what's, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Lisa because honestly, she is what kind of got this ball rolling for me. And so, you know,
what?
That's pretty cool. Maybe that was one of her purposes here on Earth as a human is to do these things for people, and that might be one of the things. You know what I mean? And that's really kind of mind-boggling to think about, but it's just overwhelming and awesome at the same time. It's just, wow, you know, really cool.
I know. It is. It is. And, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, so, you know, even though there is an afterlife, it doesn't mean that we should, you know, I mean, I think I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to you. But I'm saying, like, even though there's an afterlife, we still have so much here to do and, you know, like, I know it sounds hokey, but it's like I pray that I can be a light for others. I can help. Give me the means and the opportunity to help others. Give me the means and the opportunity to help others. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like if I was to ask you, Beth, what do you think one of your purposes, because we have many purposes here, but what do you think one of your purposes is? You have three beautiful sons. You have three beautiful sons.
Yeah. Wow. In addition to that, you know what? I really don't know. I would hope that it is to, you know, help people understand things, maybe, because I find myself, you know, when I feel like somebody is upset or somebody is frustrated or somebody's having a problem they need to solve and they can't solve it for themselves, that's where I feel like I can help them. And I really, you know, that's one of the things that I do pretty well is problem solve. And so maybe that, you know, maybe that's what one of my purposes is to help people solve their problems when they can't do it for themselves.
Wow. Well, I know who to go to next time I got a problem.
Yeah, I hope it's not math, though, because I'm not good at math.
No, it's not math.
That's what calculators are for.
No, not really. No, but that's cool, Beth. That's very cool. On another side note, you guys, the girl who owned Lizzie Borden's, her name was Leanne, she passed away today. She owned Lizzie Borden's. We spent many, many nights with her. She just sold Lizzie Borden's house for, how much did she sell it for, $2 million or something?
Yeah, $2 million.
Yeah, to the guy from Ghost Hunters, right?
Right. One of those guys. That should be interesting.
Yeah. 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 No kidding, right? But so it's like, you know, so we did not expect Leanne to die. I guess she had a bleeding ulcer. I didn't know she had a bleeding ulcer, but yeah. So it's just really kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyways, I just wanted to say that, Leanne, I mean, she was, I remember one time when we were in Fall River with her going to a restaurant, and there was a kickboxing store that just opened, and she's like, oh, I love kickboxing. I have to, like, take classes here or something like that, right? And I'll never forget that, because she was kind of tough, Beth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she really was. She was like I really just, like, always thought of her as, like, the, you know, she's got your back in a fight, you know?
Totally. She used to date James Woods.
I
think that's how she got the Lizzie Borden house. Like, it was some,
I think they owned it together.
Something
like that.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, he seems like a hoot. Anyways. A real hoot. yeah. So that was kind of sad that she passed. And she was young. I don't know how old she was, but she had to be probably
50.
Younger than me.
She was 50.
She was only 50?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Jeez.
Yeah. And you know what? Really crazy. All right, so my mother back in November had a bleeding ulcer, and she almost died. Like, she was supposed to, my sister doesn't have a car, and my mother picks her up and takes her to work, and she wasn't feeling well, but she wouldn't pick my sister up from work. And when my sister noticed that she wasn't driving right, she was like, pull over, let's switch, let me drive. And when she did, you know, my mother got out of the car, and she basically collapsed. And my sister, you know, they were lucky to be, like, right next to a gas station or something. And a guy came over and helped her get her back, you know, into the passenger seat. And my sister took her right to the ER. But holy cow, you know, if she hadn't had to go pick up my sister, she'd have ended up the same way. She was like, she had hardly any blood left. It was crazy.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's hard, you know?
I know. And you know what? My stepfather had just passed away a couple weeks before. And so, you know, here's a good question. So I remember my sister telling me right after, you know, because he's her father. She's my half-sister. And she was telling me that while my mother was in the hospital, there were times when it didn't really look good. They weren't, you know, she wasn't responding to the treatments and whatnot. She was in there for like almost probably an entire week, maybe a little bit longer. And so my sister was telling me, she was like, you know how George, who's my stepfather, you know how he always wanted her to be with him? She felt like he was there trying to drag her down so he could be with, she could be with him. And I was just like, wow, that's really creepy. But, you know, knowing now at some of the things I've read recently, I don't think that was probably the case. But he was also, he had just newly passed away, so maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't know who he was. Maybe he didn't know that he was, you know, actually just a spirit now. And he's like, I need Elizabeth, you know, that kind of thing. It's crazy. Now he sounds like Fred Sanford, right?
Yeah, totally. That's what I was just thinking of, Sanford and Son. But, I mean, I think, like, in fact, I did a reading earlier tonight, and the girl said that her father thinks that his mother, who just passed away, is calling to him to join her. Now, I don't think
Weird.
So. I don't think so, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is, like, from what I've read recently, that doesn't seem like that's a thing. That's like, you know,
no,
something that we might imagine.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think that people on the other side, first of all, I can't even believe they even think about us anymore at all because they seem so content and stuff. But anyways, I don't think anyone is going to try to drag you to the other side.
Yeah.
But that's a question for Renee, and she's not on right now, so I can't ask that. But I just don't think that that's something. I mean, I know, and there's things that they can do to help you here on Earth, but they cannot change the course of your path. They can't do anything that would, you know, kind of change what your free will or whatever would be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just, but that's interesting that she said that. But I mean, you know, you being in the South, it's like, it's a whole other, because I know you grew up Baptist, but I mean, that's a whole Baptist. That's a whole other freaking thing there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it is.
I mean, like, what do people think of psychic mediums there? You know what I mean?
Oh, I think they think they're, you know, from the devil.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Right. But you're not in the Bible Belt, right?
Not so much, no. Not, I mean, I'd have to go a little bit farther south, I think. to get it really bad. We don't have, like, the fire and brimstone. I mean, there might be some. I mean, like, I know in this region in particular, there's a lot of Pentecostal churches and whatnot. And from what I learned in high school, there's a bunch of snake handling going on, too, and speaking in tongues, and those people are bad.
Oh, wow. Jesus. I know.
Yeah.
The snake.
It's all about, you know, if they aren't the way we are, then they're bad. And that's so stupid.
Yeah, I know. But really, are you going to, like, handle snakes, poisonous snakes, to prove you're freaking in with Jesus? You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. This is my Jesus snake.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so, I mean, whatever, you know what I mean?
It's bizarre.
I can't really fault anyone for doing what they're doing, but it's just kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm trying to think of other questions like that, that you might have or that other people might have about the afterlife. I think I basically covered, you know, what you can expect. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been, well, I'm sure I've been dead many times in the past, but I can't remember. But you know what is another good book for you to read, Beth?
Mm-hmm.
It's by Brian Weiss, and it's called Many Lives, Many Masters. And it's
all right.
This guy was like a psychiatrist, and he was dealing with this woman who had anxiety issues, but he regressed her, and she came up with all this stuff, like this, you know, these previous incarnations, you know, like
cool.
Everything about it was, it's very freaking, and you know, the book's been around forever. I just got around to reading it, which is pretty pathetic, but anyways, it's really good. So you got a lot of stuff, you know what I mean?
Oh, no kidding. I've got, like, I don't even know how long a list of things to read now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I
listened to a podcast the other day before I started this book. It was the podcast. I only listened to the first episode. It's called Evidence of the Afterlife with Maverick. I can't remember his last name. It starts with a V. And the first episode was with a lady who, her name was Candace Sanderson, and she is a psychologist who was at one time, you know, a complete skeptic. And she had certain things happen to her and, like, started to, you know, really open up. And I really identified with her because, you know, like, her journey was very similar to, you know, things that I've been thinking, but she goes much farther and things actually have happened to her. And it was like an hour and a half long podcast, and it was really, really interesting because, you know, she talked about learning, you know, about her spirit guides, I think it was, and how she's been, you know, they've been communicating to her, and she just, like, out of the blue one day started to listen, kind of. And I was like, that's really cool. And it was just, you know, totally fascinating. I'll probably listen to all the other, there's like 20 or something other episodes to listen to, but I'll listen to those maybe after I finish this book. But it sounds like something that's going to be really kind of super cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I never heard of Maverick, whatever his name is.
Vardoger. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I just looked it up. It's Vardoger.
Hmm.
Sounds like a young guy, too.
Yeah,
reminded me of my oldest son.
Wow. I never heard of him, but that doesn't mean he's not good, you know?
Right.
So I just want to say in the chat room we have Psychic Chef Peter, and he's been on my show before. Today is his birthday. He's in Australia.
Happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Peter. So I just asked him, I know he's getting coffee, he said, but I just asked him if he wanted to call in. He's really quite something. You know, I love him.
Cool.
So we'll see if he wants to call in. Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's like, so, I mean, you know, and the other thing is, like, believing in the spirit world, I mean, like, if you see, like, I mean, there's some people that pay too much attention to signs. They make something of nothing. Like, they'll
yeah.
see a 3-3, and they think it's like, oh, my God, it's my mother, and, you know, I'm not into that shit. But, I mean, there are some signs, if you pay attention, that your loved ones are there. Like, I know when Lisa passes, we're going to see shit. We're going to hear stuff.
That,
you know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about that in my mind, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even, you know, even Annie, who spent many times with Lisa in her house after she was gone, she would see signs from her mother all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just so, but I mean, without that belief that there's something beyond this little tiny scope of existence, without that belief is like, you know, really? I mean, it's like I said before, it's so boring, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is, like, so you know what EVPs are, right, Beth? Like the electronic
yeah.
voice phenomena?
Right,
so
yeah.
I have gotten EVPs, and I mean really
cool.
good EVPs. On this show, I've gotten the EVPs. And,
awesome.
And elsewhere. So, I mean, you know, who's going to come through with an EVP when I was doing a show with this psychic medium? I don't know. I can't. Robert something. Anyway, so who's going to come through on an EVP and say Corinne? Because everyone who was calling into the show kept calling me Corinne. And I kept correcting them and saying Corinne.
Wow.
And so this EVP comes through that says Corinne.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, I thought it was my mother because she's busting my balls. Like, you know what I mean? Like, saying,
yeah.
like, you know. I don't know who it was. But anyways, I mean, I love the whole EVP thing. In fact, I had one of those EVP machines, the SB7s, and then I gave it to somebody. And I'm thinking, maybe I should get another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've just been so busy making my magic mirrors and jewelry and stuff, I haven't really, but maybe I'll get one, you know what I mean? The guy who gave it to
yeah.
me is actually Gary Galka, who invented those SB7s.
Oh, okay.
And the guy, like, so nice. The guy was so freaking nice. I met him at his office in Connecticut. He lives right near me, you know.
Oh,
and,
all right.
He was awesome. You know, he gave it to me for free. And anyways, whatever. I gave it to somebody and whatever. But anyway, so, yeah, I got to reach out to him again, too, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay, so do you have any other questions you can think of right now?
I don't actually have – I think we've pretty much covered all my questions, but I did want to tell you something weird that happened to me this afternoon regarding spirit
Ooh.
Guides, because I've been really, really, you know, thinking about that. And so this afternoon I laid down to take a nap, right? And I'm like, let me think about this stuff because I'm just really frustrated over the fact that I have not been – able to get the energy together to get my yard in order. Like, I have a bunch of plants sitting on my table in the backyard waiting to be planted. And last year, the same thing happened. Half of them died before I ever got a chance to put them in, either in a pot or in the ground or whatever. And I didn't want that to happen again this year, but it's, you know, I'm still, like, lacking energy to get things like that done. And so, like, this afternoon, knowing that now knowing that I have probably have some spirit guides who are hanging out with me quite often, I decided that I'm going to, like, you know, try to get into a meditative state, right? And so I didn't actually fall asleep, I don't think, but I was really relaxed, and I was really, you know, in kind of a meditative state, and I was thinking about this. And I'm like, okay, and I asked. I'm like, if you're really there, if you're a spirit guide for me and you know my situation, I really would really like for you to, you know, identify yourself and with no doubt so that I don't think it's just my imagination or that kind of thing. And then the weirdest thing, and here still again, I didn't really get an answer as to whether or not it was my imagination or whether it was genuine, but I kept hearing Adrian and Michael over and over. Every time I would come up with a new thought or a new question, I heard Adrian and Michael, and sometimes they would be like talking over each other. It was like two people saying Adrian, Michael over top of each other. You know what I mean? And I was really excited about that when I woke up later, because one of the other things I said, you know, I was like, okay, look, I need help in the yard. I need to get these plants planted. I need these, you know, I want to grow vegetables. I need to plant the vegetables. I don't have the energy half the time to do it. I need some help. Here's my plan. I want to do this. And so I really would like for you to help me do that. And I'll be damned. I got the rest of my tomatoes planted. I planted half my herbs, and I rearranged all of the other things. I did all like the, I was somehow in 1 hour with like, it was 92 degrees and I don't know how much humidity, able to get all of the really, really important things done so they don't die. And then I'm like, later I'm like, Adrian, Michael, thank you. It's, you know, I mean, I don't even know if that was something I was making up or what, but it worked. And that's really the important thing, I guess.
It is the important thing. And, you know, so I love the way that you tested it out, Beth. Do it again. You know what I mean? Do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, all, like, today I asked a question. This is stupid. I'm so embarrassed to say this, but so I was like, if this guy really loves me, let me see a hummingbird right now. I blinked and the freaking hummingbird was right there. You know
what
I mean? And, you know, I don't know, whatever. It's like, who the hell knows, you know? But I mean, in fact, the other day I asked, Melissa, my friend Melissa that died, I said, Melissa, show me or let me hear about a blue ribbon today, and I'll know that you can hear me. So, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm watching this murder thing on YouTube, and the guy's like, yes. So the murderer put a blue ribbon around this girl's throat, and I'm like,
oh my god.
Blue ribbon. So, anyways. I mean, just like things like that. But I mean, you know, the thing is, when they're showing us signs, it's not going to be like my mother said she'd call me on the phone. As far as I know, she hasn't called me yet, even though I never answer my phone on this phone. But anyways, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, most times it's so subtle that you would miss it if you weren't paying attention. You know
right.
what I mean?
That's what I'm afraid of. Yeah.
Right, but if you made an agreement today and it happened, you make another thing, like say, Adrian and Michael, tomorrow let me hear the name Sullivan or something that you can, you know, validate, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to do that.
I mean.
I'm totally going to do that.
Yeah. Right.
It's weird, too, because I feel like, I actually have a friend whose name is Adrian, and I've been friends with her since, you know, like eighth grade or something. But I felt like this person, Adrian or whatever, is not spelled the same way. It's Adrian, and that's weird. because everybody else I know is A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just
right,
so
that's
weird.
It.
And I was half asleep too. It was really relaxing, and like it was a 20-minute like power nap, but I wasn't actually asleep. I didn't think I was asleep. I might have been. But I mean, it's just amazing that I actually got stuff done in the yard. I was so happy. I'm like in such a good mood about it. Like all these things that I want to grow are not going to die now. Hopefully they won't die. You know, maybe something will come out there and eat them. I don't know. Better not.
Well,
you know?
They probably won't. Just put some coyote
hopefully not.
Urine out there. Something. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can go buy coyote piss. I can put that around.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And then the coyotes will be like all freaking there, you know what I mean? Oh, man.
They're like, yeah, coyote party.
I love coyotes. I think they're so cool. I love to hear them at night howling. I love that.
Yeah.
You know?
We have a ton of them in this neighborhood. I've never actually seen one, but I mean, I'm not here, not in this neighborhood. I've never seen one, but I hear them. And raccoons, oh, my God. Those damn things. There was one literally on my house has, like, the front part of the house is two stories and the back is one story. And so there's, like, I could see the roof of the back part of the house from one of my bedroom windows. And there was a raccoon up there eating mulberries out of the tree the other night. And the cats were like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I know.
I had to shut the window because I didn't want them to, like, interact.
Right. I mean, those raccoons are like, man, they're so human-like.
Yeah.
They will come in and sit down at your kitchen table while you're having dinner and just use a fork and a knife. That's like, they're so freaking
right?
bold. You know?
They
yeah.
are. Yeah. I got a couple that come out and like, seriously, I just had pizza that I threw out there. And I'm like, all right, it's raccoon dinner time. Let's go put the pizza out there. The old pizza.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure they loved it, you know?
Oh, they do. They sit out there and they leave the crust. They don't even eat the crust.
Really? They're like
yeah.
humans.
Sometimes, yeah. Picky.
Very picky. One time I was out there and I had some chicken wings or something. And I'm like, I just handed it to the raccoon, and he, like, ate it right in front of me. It was like,
see,
you know,
I really
so want
to go out there and like, talk to them. Not talk to them, but, you know, hand them, like, here's some strawberries, you know, or whatever. Because I think they're really cute, and I know that the ones I have that hang around here, they know, you know, they're not afraid of people. Because they just, you know, I open
no,
the door
not.
And look at them, and they're like, hey. They don't
yeah,
run.
Totally. Yeah. No kidding. They're playing poker on your backyard. In your backyard, you know what I mean.
They probably are.
They are so gregarious, man. Oh my God.
That's exactly the right word. Yeah, they totally are.
Yeah.
No man.
Okay, so we have a few people on the line to get a reading, and I did say in the last half of the show we try to give readings. So we have a few people to give readings to. If you will join me in that, Beth, because you did a fantastic job last time, you know.
I'll try my best.
Okay. So if you guys are on the line for a reading, you have to press 1. Just to let you know, if you haven't pressed 1, you have to press 1. And I just want to give a shout out to who's in the chat room. There's Christy Hu. Hi, Christy. Felice. Amy Kavanaugh, who's been a guest on my show a few times. Lex, I don't know what your name is because it's very convoluted or whatever. So hi, Lex. Oh, Adriana is here. I just gave Adriana a reading, actually. Hi, Adriana. And of course, Peter, whose birthday it is today, or maybe it was yesterday because you're in tomorrow in Australia. And, of course, the great Renee Richards, who I love and adore. And, oh, man, I just want to be her when I grow up. So, anyways, okay, so I will play a quick song, I'll tell you, the song is 4 minutes and 57 seconds, Beth, in case you want to go to the bathroom or anything. And then we'll come back and we'll start to give readings starting with 760. Okay, so we'll be right back, you guys. Thank you so much for being here. I'll be back.
Bye.
And I am back with Elizabeth Blue. She is an author, a mother of three beautiful boys, men right now, actually. Not
they are men
anymore.
Now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. I remember when they were little, Beth, you know?
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Holy God. Anyways, yeah, time goes by so damn fast, you know? Okay, so we're going to begin with 760, and I'm not sure who we have at 760. Hello?
Hi, this is Jeanette.
Hi,
thank
Jeanette.
You for taking my call.
Hi there.
Sure. Hi.
Yeah, so, well, I guess we're probably mostly familiar with solar eclipse that's coming up. And just I'm thinking about what's ahead for me in the next 6 months. There's some, I can feel some winds of change. And I was just wondering if I could ask my question.
Sure. I'm not so much up on astrology, but
sure.
If you're like, are you a light worker, Jeanette? I feel like, you know, you're going to be implementing some other faction of this in your work, like some other, I don't think it's like with cards or anything like that, but some other thing. God, what is it? I'm seeing like you sitting there, and it's really in your mind. It's not anything that any tools that you're using except your mind. Like you're going to be meditating more for some purpose, like something you're trying to discern. Maybe you're going to be doing readings for people on afterlives or something. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Does this make any sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah. Okay. I'm also seeing the color purple, which to me means higher connections. And then I see this, do you have a sphere of, it's like a dark stone, you know, maybe it's a really good amethyst, or is there, do you have a sphere of something that's a dark color, like an amethyst or obsidian or something?
I have some amethyst pieces, but the amethyst sphere I have is not really dark. Maybe you're talking about the labradorite that I have?
Oh, my God. That's my favorite stone. Okay.
It's mine, too.
Yeah, that it could be that. Yeah, I love labradorite. Oh, my God. It's so gorgeous. Yeah, I just see things coming. Like, I'm seeing, like, actually sunbeams. Like, so to speak, like beams of things coming in through these crystals and spreading out to you. So I don't know if you have to spend more time meditating or I'm not sure exactly what that is, but that's what I'm seeing for you. But definitely openings of other modalities and talents that you probably don't even know you have right now. And you're also going to be doing, did you have plans for August of doing something in August, like some sort of gathering or fair or something like that?
Not as of yet. Nothing that I am aware of as of yet.
Okay, I see something like that happening in August, at the end of August. It's almost in September. Yeah, I see you putting the tablecloth down on the table, and you've got your a few crystals with you, and you're ready to do something. Like you're ready to, I guess, give readings or of some kind. That's interesting. Okay. And can I just ask you one more thing? Like, so do pine trees mean anything to you? Like, is that some?
Well, trees mean a lot to me. Pine trees are in certain areas of where I live. Actually, not so much where I live, but more north and like in the mountains. But I love them, you know. I love trees.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, I don't know why I'm seeing pine trees. Maybe there's a symbolism there. I don't even know what the legend or symbolism of a pine tree is, but you might want to look that up.
Okay.
What's September to do with you? Anything? A date?
Interesting you should bring September up because I'm supposed, I think I delayed a move that was suddenly came up and, you know, it was like shocking to me that I was supposed to be moving within less than 30 days. And I just asked for guidance, and the guidance was that I didn't have to move until September. And I had a conversation with the person, and they changed their mind, and so it looks like it's going to be in September. But I'm not sure how that's all going to transpire. For me, there's kind of a big question mark about where it's going to be. Do I even have, I don't know, I just feel like something's coming in that I'm not aware of.
Okay. Let me see. Beth, I don't want to leave Beth out of this. Beth, are you getting anything while I'm thinking about that?
No, actually, but I feel frustration there, definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's always nice to have clarity, and when I don't have clarity, it's a little frustrating, I'll admit.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you see anything coming in for me then?
Well, Jeanette, I just want to mention this, and you know this already. I don't have to tell you, but I'm just going to remind you. There's so little we have control of in this life. You know what I mean? And
right.
when we fight against the tide, it just gets more difficult. If we roll with the tide, we can just be carried. You know, like it's easier. But anyways, I'm just going to say that. I know you already know that. It's nothing you don't know. Let me see.
If you only knew how many tides and waves have been rolling.
I bet.
My wetsuit is definitely needs changing.
Right.
Oh, I hear you.
Believe me. Yeah, no kidding. I don't know, what's with this guy? Is there a guy in your life?
Yeah, well, that's what I want to know, too. It's kind of like I thought there was something, and then all of a sudden it just stopped cold turkey. There's something weird, you know, in terms of what happened with the community. You know, like, what happened? That's the weirdness that I'm feeling, and I'm not sure why it just came to a halt. I felt like there was a huge connection. I don't know.
Right. Okay, yeah, okay. You only saw him a few times, right? It wasn't like years, right? Or anything like, or months or anything?
Oh, no, it wasn't a long time. And also because of what was going on in the world, there was no physical contact like we...
Okay. I don't know. I feel like he's going to come back around. Like I don't know. I'm not sure what happened to him in the meantime, but there's something he was involved in that was like, I don't know, seems, and I don't know if I'm accurate in this, but he seems to be kind of doubtful about himself, like a little bit, like kind of skittish a little bit. So I think that he needs like something you know, and I don't know if you've tried to contact him besides that time that you were talking after that. I don't know if you've tried
really
to contact him.
I was really more the initiator. I just was like kind of putting things out there to say, you know, to say, oh, how are you doing? Or start a conversation. I felt like I was constantly initiating. And, you know, there came a time where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to pull my energy back. I, you know, he should be able to, if he's interested, to be able to reciprocate and take the lead, you know, at least sometimes, some of the time.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, there's something, it's almost like I keep hearing he can't help himself. Like something like, some blockage that he has created himself. It's nothing real and nothing crucial, nothing that is really very solid, but something he has created himself, like some blockage. Mm-hmm. But I think that he will get over that at some point. That's why I think he's going to come back around. Does he have like, it's not really short hair, but it's like kind of like medium. Like it's not long mm-hmm. hair either, but it's kind of in the middle.
Mhm.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's got. He's. You know. I mean. You know. I don't like to say anything that I don't know exactly for sure because I can't be 100%, but he's battling with something else that you don't have any idea about. I don't know what it is. It's not like another lover or anything like that. It's like something else that he's battling with. Geez, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I do see him coming around again. But I also feel like even if things didn't work out for him, there's somebody else that's going to come along, you know? Like, I see guys attracted to you. I don't know. I don't know what you look like, but, I mean, I don't know how you are with other people, but it feels like there's, like, other people attracted to you at the same time, you know?
Hmm.
So I don't see anything stopping you from having a really good relationship, besides him. You know, if he mm-hmm. comes back, good. If he doesn't, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter really because there's going to be other men in the mix here, you know?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay, so that's about all I have. Beth, what do you have besides what you said?
Well, I was kind of thinking that maybe this guy is, you know, he's got a confidence issue, and it might even be that he's, you know, maybe he's got depression,
mm-hmm.
and that holds him back, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a low self-esteem or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Right.
So are you picking up how he feels about me?
About himself.
No, about me. I mean, do you pick anything up about
yeah,
how
Yeah, I mean,
feels
I'm thinking that he's afraid to progress, maybe, because if he's got, like, these, you know, if he's depressed or if he has self-esteem issues, he may be afraid that he isn't going to be, you know, the person that you would like for him to be. Something like that, or, you know, that he's just not going to be able to make another person happy, you know?
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, Jeanette, do you have reddish hair?
No. Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
No.
All right. Because I was going to say, I mean, I think he's very attracted to you, but there's just something stopping him, and it's himself. You know what I mean?
I tend to agree with what you're saying. I really do. I mean, I could feel the energy. but it kind of confuses me at the same time why the last little tidbit that I sent out there, commenting on one of social media, one of his posts, he never responded back, and that's not like him either. It's like usually he gives you some kind of a response back. And it could be because maybe he was traveling, maybe he was, you know, because he's got a busy schedule right now. And, you know, he is somebody who's in the public eye. So, you know, I would think, I don't know, I would think that confidence thing, I don't know, it just, there's some missing pieces, I feel. And part of the missing piece is that he wants to do things in his own time. You know, I'm getting that. I'm getting that piece too. And I'm also getting that the same thing you got, which was that he was going to come back around. And again, there's that timing piece.
Right. So, I mean, when I said September... That might include that, him coming back.
I was
going to
ask
point.
You that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna. I was definitely going to ask you that. And there's also some movement on his part too. Like he just recently moved, and he's thinking of coming back. And I don't know. There's like I keep getting these messages, and I'm trying to put all the pieces together because I get a lot of like flashes of insight, and it's like, okay, wait a minute, where are we now?
Where
does this piece go to? So I thought I could just maybe take a step backward and just like see if someone else can be the observer and give me a little bit more clarity. But you've already validated a lot, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this too, Jeanette. Did you guys talk about going overseas to Europe or something? Did you say anything?
Oh,
did you guys talk about Europe?
Oh, my gosh. No, we never. Yes, we did, only very lightly about, like, in our astrology charts, where relocation, because he was confused about, you know, should I be moving, this and that, and the other thing. So we started talking about where our best places are relocation-wise. And so we just talked about places like that, and he also mentioned quite a bit of information about, like, well, I think I'm going to move back to New York, and if I don't like New York, I can always go to South America, and then when it's too hot here, then I can go to this place and that place, and he said, I like to move around. And, like, okay. I see.
Yeah. Is he a Gemini?
No. No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Aries.
All right. Aries. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, they're pretty lightning strike.
Stubborn.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 Geez.
Yeah. So you see?
Yeah,
See where we are here. About like, yeah, you may be picking up. And I pick up this whole thing about, like, maybe he's just not feeling confident. But I think this is all about some kind of chapter in his life right now that he is kind of, like, recovering from. He's coming back, and his timing is off, or at least our timing was off, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you have sea legs,
mm-hmm.
and finally you realize, oh, okay, I'm on land again. Oh, I'm feeling much more stable now. That's how I feel, like the timing.
Right, right. I hear you. Yeah. you know, it's impossible to gauge at what stage he's at. You know what I mean? It's impossible.
Right.
But I mean, I still see him leaning toward you. I think he's very attracted to you.
Me too.
He's just, you know, I mean, like you said, it's all about timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
We should probably talk off air because actually I really would like to kind of say more, but I'm very time sensitive here, you know, because there are other people that want to talk to you guys. And so, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to make an appointment with me, I mean, it's a simple. My website is I am Corrine DeWinter, and it's Corrine,
okay,
CORRINE DeWinter.com. I'm very affordable.
Okay.
I'm almost free. so you can make an appointment.
Oh my gosh, I love your sense of humor.
But, you know, it's funny, Jeanette, because I feel like I feel what you're feeling like right now, and I know that feeling very well, and you're right on the tip of the land there, and you're saying, what do I do right now? What should I do? What is the right thing to do? You know, and
where is that map? What happened to that map? Where'd that map go?
Mm-hmm. No kidding, man. No kidding. Jesus.
As it's flying away in the wind.
Yeah, right. Flying away. No kidding. I hope I helped a little bit, Jeanette, and maybe I'll talk to you, you know, soon somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, Corrine. That would be great.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I think you're going to do great. You're going to, you know, I want to say you're going to be so busy doing other things that this is going to be something that's like a site. It's going to be on the back burner for you, you know?
Yeah, but so, I would also like it to be the icing on the cake. So, you know, I'm ready for love. I've been without a relationship, and I've been just fine. No problems. You know, I'm not lamenting any of it. I'm just saying I'm ready now. And it's been lots of years, and so I'm inviting that in too.
Yeah, good, good. And you're doing a good job. Trust me. You look great, you know. Okay, we'll talk.
All right.
We'll talk some more, Jeanette, okay?
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll do. I'll contact you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Yeah, she's pretty cool, you know. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So let me see who I have here. 201-321, hello?
Hi, Corrine. This is Jackie.
Hey, Jackie. How are you?
Just kind of tired. This week has been something else. But
I bet.
Yeah, it has. I went back to work, but it's only for a couple of weeks, and I don't think I'm going to work this summer for anyone but myself. I just want to see what you see, if any, you know,
okay,
changes in the summer.
Right. I think that is a very smart thing that you're doing, like, you know, just going away from the traditional work space into your own thing. Jackie, I feel like, did something settle with all the house stuff? Did something happen with that settled with that?
I'm hoping to real soon. I'm actually sitting out in front of the house now. I came out here to meditate. I feel like I have my brothers in a position where they have no other choice but to settle because, you know, they have nothing to contribute with this. I don't know what's going on with my sister, but my brothers, they don't know the details, but they know that I've been handling it. Like,
right.
I'm at a place now where I know that they know that I've been doing what I had to do. You understand? And I'm just hoping that during this summer I could pull everything together at the end of this month when I get work off my shoulders and move forward.
Right. Yeah, and I think that is going to happen, Jackie. I feel like that's going to happen because I already see it settled. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm being like early saying this, but I feel like it's going to be settled, you know?
You know what? You know what? You know what's weighing on me? I'm just wondering why I don't. I'm always hearing that I got a lot of protection around me. And my parents are with me, and my ancestors are with me. But I just wish they would come to me.
So how do you know they're not coming to you?
I can't tell. I guess maybe because I've just been so busy. Maybe I haven't been noticing it.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I see certain numbers. And I know that that's the communication, but I'm not sure if it's them. And also, you know what, I believe my husband don't believe. Like, my husband looked at this whole situation completely differently from me.
Right. So if you heard Beth earlier talking about how she asked for validation from her spirit guides, can you... Jackie, can you do that? Can you say, before you go to bed tonight, Mom, Dad, show me something tomorrow to prove that you're here and you're hearing me?
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, and do it every day, Jackie. I do it every day. I'm like, let's test this out. Let's see if I can be shown what I asked for. And most times it comes through because I know one time we ask and, it, you know, maybe nothing happens and next time. But usually it will, I will, my wish will be validated by something. But you just got to pay, you got to ask it, you got to put it out there and then look for it. Pay attention. You know, and I know you've been busy.
Yeah.
I know that. But but try to put that into motion, you know?
Well, I see my mother's birthday a lot. You know, she has triple two. And I see 11-11 a lot. And, you know, I just take that number as my number, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that everything gets settled soon because it's kind of difficult taking care of a property and living in an apartment. You get it?
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, yeah, Jesus. But I just feel, Jackie, that all of your effort and all the hard work you're doing is going to pay off. I mean, it's kind of already paying off, like, spiritually for you. But, I mean, it's going to pay off in terms of earth payoff. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be worth it. And I think you know that inside your heart. But I don't want you to ever think that you're doing things for no purpose. That nothing, because you have no idea what is coming back to you for putting up with what you're doing. You know, you have no idea. And I don't want you to ever get dismayed or, you know, depressed or sad or, you know, and I know you're tired, rightly so. But I mean,
yeah,
I don't want you to give up.
That's really how I'm feeling right now. And I've been trying to shake it the whole weekend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, Beth, what are you picking up? Anything?
I think you're really, really, you sound so tired. And I think it's really important for you to take out some time for some self-care, because that's really, really important to your health, your physical mm-hmm. health, your mental health, you know, despite everything that you might have going on. But it's you know, it's definitely something that you need to really be a good idea for you to, you know, chisel out some time to do that, you know, even if it's 10 minutes here or, you know, 15 minutes there, just for some self-care, just to, you know, re-energize yourself and keep going.
And
you
know
what you're doing?
You know what that is? I just want
take
to
take a hot bath
garden.
With
yeah,
a glass
well,
of wine,
I,
you know?
I do that regularly, maybe not with the wine, but a little mum clean here and there. I was using here and there. But my thing that I'm looking so forward to is gardening here, fixing it up. You know, just
oh, I hear you there.
I'm definitely, I'd like that DIY, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just things and making it beautiful. Like, my husband came over here and did the landscaping this weekend. And, you know, I came by a little bit, but I was kind of exhausted from the week. And it just gives me peace. And I know that it looked good when it was done, but I can't wait to be able to just do it from the inside out. Like,
it's
I feel
so
like
satisfying.
My healing is going to really take place by doing it.
Excellent ideas.
I know it. And I just never could understand. I mean, you already know where I'm coming from. I never could understand why it had to go this way. What's the lesson? Like, somebody had to
right.
do it, and no one else is willing.
Yeah.
So it's like,
right.
off now, okay?
Yeah. You're the designated driver, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that when the time comes with the settlement that they see that. Of course, I've been a designated driver. I was prepared for it while everyone was, like, living their life. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Right. But believe me, it's not for nothing that you're doing this. It's not, it's like you will see it in this lifetime, you know, the rewards, which we often don't see in this lifetime. We don't see the rewards of what we do. You will see it in this lifetime. I know that. You know?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take off this summer. I definitely don't want to work for no one else. Not at all. I'll do something different. I don't want to work with my employer. There's a lot going on with work. I'm hoping that in September I go somewhere else. Do you see any difference in September?
Let me see. So, in September, would you try to go back to the same place or not?
I just want to be closer to home. I don't want to go back to the same place. They got too many issues.
Yeah. I hear you. I just feel like, Jackie, there's something that you could do from your house.
I was actually working remotely up until this past week, ever since COVID.
Okay, so would you would you still work remotely for that company?
Yes, but it depends what they're going to do, because I mean, remember, I'm a teacher without saying where I'm at. It's a highly charged political situation right now, so I'm going to leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple more years, before I can retire with my pension, and I want my money.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you still want to be working there or having some
involvement
in the system,
in that
but
place.
Not necessarily that location. In the system, but not necessarily that location. It's fitting
okay, I
my
see.
Next couple of years. That's it.
Right. I see you being able to do that, though. I don't see there being a problem. I see you doing mostly what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
There might be slight changes a little bit, but, I mean, you know, you got to hang in.
If COVID is what they say COVID was, COVID is going to come back around in this area. Because I could just look at the trend. Believe me, it's too much movement all at one time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Shit. Yeah, I think that you just gotta, you know, you kind of gotta just like go along with what you've been doing and insist on remaining remote. You know, you gotta do that. I know this whole COVID thing is like it's so invasive and everything, but. Man, I don't know. I don't see you. I see that you're going to be continuing to do the work you're doing, but you're not. And of course, you have this other work with the house. But I mean, I see it continuing, but the work with the house is lessened. It's like there's not so much stress there pretty soon.
Okay.
Like in the next 2 months, not so much stress. That's going to abate. And, yeah, I mean, there's not like tons of change there happening, but I mean, it's going to be good. I feel like at the end of this, Jackie, it's going to
mm-hmm.
be like, oh my God, finally, you know, vindicated and being able to relax and freaking, you know, just appreciate the peace and the quiet and your freedom. You know, that's what I see happening, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna contact you because I do want to get some purple plate when I get a chance to come in, you know, at the end of the month and, like, you know, do some cleaning and stuff. I want to put some plates there. Or something to kind of like lift the energy on the inside.
Right. Well, listen, Jackie, just message me. I'll hook you up, you know. Don't worry about it. I'll hook you up, you know.
Okay. Appreciate it. I don't want to take up too much of your time because I'll message you and then we'll go. Do you have WhatsApp on FaceTime?
I don't have FaceTime, but I can do WhatsApp. I don't think so.
All right, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, definitely. Okay, I love you so much, Jackie. I pray for
you
every night.
You know
I love
you too. You know I love you too.
I know.
Thank you.
I do. Okay. I'd
like
to
continue to listen. All right?
Okay,
thank
sure.
You,
I'll put you on hold. Okay. Thank you, Jack.
All right. Thank you.
Love that woman. I love her. Okay. All right. So, Beth, you're still with me, right?
I'm here.
Okay. Good.
No, okay, I'm really enjoying listening to this because you're so intuitive, and I love it. And I actually learn a lot from you, so this is really cool.
Oh, geez. Thank you, Beth. Geez. Go on.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, 520. Who do we have?
Yay! It's Lisa. I did have a private reading with you a while back, and I really do enjoy when you're on the radio. You're so funny.
Oh, hey, Lisa.
And
how you doing?
Good. Yay. Yay. I do have a question.
Okay.
Well, do you see Aaron? Like, what will happen?
Okay. Hold on. Let me tell you. Hold on. Aaron.
Okay.
So, Beth, can you answer?
Okay.
I can't hear you, Corrine.
I can't hear you,
like,
Corrine.
Really far away.
Sorry, I was going in the kitchen to get some water. Okay, so, Beth, do you feel anything about Aaron with Lisa?
Is Aaron a boy or a girl?
He's a guy.
Okay. And that's somebody that you're interested in?
Yeah.
I don't have the intuition that Corrine has. but, I mean, how well do you know him? I mean, have you been out before? Or have you known him for a while or what?
Can I speak for you, Lisa? She had a relationship with him for a few months, and then she told him that she didn't want to see him anymore, and then she told him she did want to see him, and in between all that, he just kind of disappeared.
Oh, okay. So he got freaked out?
We were both freaked out, I think. I told him, Corrine's got it right. I didn't actually outright say I didn't want to see him. What I did say, we were saying different things toward the end, and it wasn't nasty or angry or anything like that. And he just said, I'm going to call you, I'll see you once or twice a week. And I don't know why I was upset. I have no idea. I just said, well, maybe I won't take your phone call. So it's like Corrine said. I guess that's in essence telling somebody. But I didn't know. Anyway, so here I am today calling you guys and asking about him because I'm paying for what I
said.
I'm paying for it. I didn't
think it's like y'all are at odds with each other, like, an honest conversation, like put it out on the table thing would maybe solve a lot of stuff.
It was a misunderstanding, and that's what I'm hoping to patch it up.
Yeah, like if y'all were to sit down and hash it out, you would come to an understanding and be like, okay,
absolutely.
Well, that's that, and so now we can proceed, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I don't know, Lisa, does this make any sense that he would have gone somewhere? You don't know, right?
You know, because if you're picking something up, I'll say anything's possible.
Right. Okay. I feel like he went somewhere away. Not forever, but I feel like he's not in the vicinity right now for some reason. I'm not even sure where he went. I don't know why. I mean, you're not, I don't, where are you, Lisa? I can't remember.
I'm in Arizona.
Right, okay. So I don't know why I keep getting Alaska.
Oh, my God. You know what? That could easily be the case because when he and I were you know, we were with each other day after day after day. He mentioned he went for a month to Alaska with a friend, a buddy, a guy. Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
I wonder, okay, isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is something.
I don't. Yeah, it's kind of strange that I would think of Alaska, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he did go, like, I'm getting the word in my mind, walkabout, and I know, you know, a walkabout is a walkabout. It's like you go all over, but then I got Alaska,
yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like he's exploring or trying to figure out himself, or I don't know. That's like the impression I get, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows how long? Go ahead.
His main job is seasonal, you know, it's cyclical. You know, it's like 9 months. This is a break right now. I mean, this is the time of year that they take a break. So he would have the freedom to leave.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
wow.
This is something he needed to do. It's like it's important for him to, like I said, put those parts of himself back together that he seems to have a difficult time doing. You know what I mean? Okay, let me see. Hold on. Give me a second. Let me think.
Okay.
Yeah, while he's gone doing that, he's thinking about, he's taking into account you and a few other things. He's thinking about all of this at one time. You know what I mean? He's thinking about everything. What should I do? Should I, you know what I mean? He's trying to figure out who the hell he is and how he should proceed. And the other thing is, I feel like he wanted to get away from his parents. I don't know why. So, wait a minute. I don't know, Lisa, I feel like he, and, you know, of course I could totally be wrong, but I feel like he is going to resurface, and the whole, like, it's just like, I don't know, there's something there that is going to happen. I don't know, I can't tell you exactly when or where. But I don't know. I see, this is going to sound so stupid, I see a hot tub involved. Hot tub. I don't know what the frick that means. But anyway. but I mean, I don't know. It's just like he's going to resurface. Something, he feels something. He's like, I don't know, but he's like exploring right now. I don't know how to put it, except that he's trying to search for answers for himself. And somehow this journey is going to make him more on track with what he wants and what he wants to do. But he's not, at this point right now, I feel like he's not grounded at all. Like, he's like, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. But, I mean, I see that changing, too, you know. I'm not exactly sure. I wish I could tell you.
Yeah.
I know, Lisa, it sucks. It sucks.
No, it's all right. It's all right. You know, it's the way it is. Is it like months or weeks or?
I'm saying months. Like, if I had to put a timeline, months. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at the scale of 1 to 5 months. I'm seeing 2 months. So I can't swear by it. Of course, I can't swear by anything. But, I mean, I say look in about 2 months. There's some action there. There's some activity. And, yeah. So what? I just have one more question for you. So what is, this is going to sound so weird. Cinnamon, was there like anything to do with cinnamon with him? Cinnamon?
I wasn't aware of that. I know that I take special pride in my discovering where to buy cinnamon, but I never shared that with him. You know, I never, it didn't come up. You know, it didn't come up. I love my cinnamon because I located, you know, a cinnamon that I really enjoy.
Okay.
But maybe he's got some holistic thing he's discovered for himself. Maybe I just don't know about it. You know, it could be.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I'm looking at his parents right now, and they're like alone. They're not. He's not there. And they're like on the phone with him and stuff. You know. What is, can I ask you this also? 543? Is that anything? 543?
I would have to write that down and look it up. You know, it might be the area code where he's at. I'm not sure. It could be their phone number. I haven't memorized. I do not know. You know, I would have to look everything up.
Okay, so write that down, Lisa, for the hell of it, and see if that's any area code or anything. I don't know. I've never heard of 543 area code, but I have no idea. 543. So that would be, if it was a date, it would be May 4th. Okay, yeah, I'm not exactly positive. That's interesting. All right. Feel anything coming from this errand?
No, I mean, my major thought is that if he's, like, on some kind of, you know, journey to find himself or, you know, to discover things, he's going to come out of it on the positive, like it would be better for both of you, you know, once he goes through whatever it is he's going through, if it's, you know, if it's something minor or something major, whatever, you know, when it's all said and done, he's going to be, it's going to be better for you because you certainly wouldn't want to be in the middle of like an existential crisis. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So So, like, patience is probably the best thing at this point.
Yeah. Corinne, do you see him giving me a call? I mean, he's calling his parents. Do you think?
I think that, like I said, he's going to reach out, you know, 2 months.
Okay.
Could be a little bit longer than that. But I think, like, there's something that's going to happen in his brain, like, during this walkabout thing or whatever the hell he's doing. Something's going to change there. You know what I mean? Like, he's thinking
like an
about
epiphany.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely, you haven't left his mind, Lisa. You have not left his mind, I'll tell you that. He's thinking about it. He's actually really thinking about it. He enjoyed it. And he was just, you know, I feel like he was just freaking confused. He didn't know what to do. And, you know, he's trying to discover himself, you know. Look at, like, most men are, even if they're freaking 50, they're still trying to discover themselves. You know? But he definitely has this attraction toward you. I feel that. I feel like he does. You know, there's something there. It's just like Beth said, you got to have a little patience, you know. And you've had plenty of patience, I realize. But you got to have a little bit more.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, honestly. You know?
No. There's not. Except just keep talking to him in your mind, Lisa. Keep talking to him. And, you know, and I don't know if you know how to talk to someone's higher self, but you could try talking to his higher self and just say, what's going on? And then when you hear, like, you're talking to his higher self and you're like, okay, what's going on? How do you feel about me? And then what you hear in your mind, you're going to think you're making it up, but that is actually what is being sent back to you from his higher self. So try to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I
know.
No, it really doesn't. I don't see it like that. I see it that we all have to come first in our own lives, and it's just part of the self-care thing. And I'm glad he's taking care of himself. And, you know, how it plays out. I have to lead my life in the fullest, and I'm not going to put myself on hold. I mean, he's, you know, I'm glad he's taking care of himself. I really am, Corinne, because you saw things last time that I was very worried for him.
Yeah, he's got to, I mean, we all have to take care of ourselves and realize our own worth and, you know, what we need to do to just have peace within ourselves. And I think that's what he's doing, you know?
No, I'm glad he's doing that for himself. I don't, you know, it's a heartache to hear about someone suffering. It really is. And if he's in some kind of peaceful place for himself, you know, emotionally, I really wish him the best.
Right. Right. Of course.
Yeah.
I know. There's so many things. You know, when we have a relationship with somebody, there's so many different factions that come into play. Like, we don't have any idea of the psychological stuff that our partners are going through. It's like there's so much hidden that we don't know. And that's why it's like, you know, patience and just this, you know, understanding that he's doing what he needs to do, of course. And, you know, I I'm talking about myself right now, Lisa. Like, I still want this guy. And I'd accept him back right now, no matter what happened. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. It sucks. I'm saying it sucks for me, not you. Sorry, I'm talking to myself right now.
I'll be your therapist, Corinne. I'll be your sounding board. Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. But I'm not going to put myself on hold. But at the same time, I'm so glad he is taking care of himself. And I would never deprive or, you know, want to interfere with anything like that, for sure. That's tremendous that he has the mm-hmm. opportunity to do something good for himself like that.
Right, right. I agree. Shit. Well, Lisa, keep in touch. Let me know what's happening, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. If I think of anything else, well, I can't contact you because you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, but I was going to say if I pick up anything else, I can let you know, but you're not a friend of mine on Facebook.
I'll look. I thought we were friends. I'll look. I'll look. I'll probably try to get a reading
okay.
with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, you don't have to, but...
Well, you know, as noble as I sound, you know, it's still kind of, it's like, wow, you know, that's the distance and everything. So, oh, well, it is what it is.
I know. It is what it is. I hate that expression, but it's true, you know?
Yeah, it's true, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But you, Lisa,
my youngest
know,
son likes to say, it isn't what it's not.
That's funny. But Lisa, I just want you to know that you are absolutely whole and fine without him. In the meanwhile.
Oh, God,
you know?
Yes. Oh, no. No, I know that. My God, I've done, I mean, I have moved boulders. I mean, really, really. I've done a lot of accomplishments just in the short time, you know, the past period. He hasn't been around. When he was around, too, I was making major steps. But, you know, life continues, and my life has continued for sure, for sure. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. But you're right. You're right. Yeah, you just keep on, keep on. You know, that's the only thing going.
Yeah, it is, really, you know. Oh, man, I know. We're okay, though, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of friends. They're all women friends. Sometimes I get tired of being around women. But nothing against women. It would be nice to reach across and feel a scruffy beard in my fingertips, you know?
Yeah. All right. It's true. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, well. It is what it is.
Well, I know. Yeah. Well, anyways, Lisa, it was very nice to hear your voice again.
Oh, that was nice talking. Thank you so much. And thank you for shedding light. You know, I'd rather know. And it all connects the dots. That is so real, because he did talk about that, you know, that he had experienced that last year. I thought it was last year, he said. I mean, you know, how can it not be true, you know, that Alaska,
yeah.
That's what he said he went to. He said,
Yeah. I'll be interested to hear, once you talk to him again, which you will talk to him again, I'll be interested to hear if it actually is true. But I think it is, you know.
Oh, I've no doubt. That just feels too real. And then you seeing him with his parents and, you know, all of that. Yeah. That just feels too real. Too real. God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Okay, thank you, Corinne. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Lisa. Take it easy, okay?
Yeah, you all too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bring a lot of joy to
we
our
will.
Lives.
We'll try.
How funny. You're so funny.
Okay, we'll see you soon, Lisa. Thank you.
I'm going to keep listening. Thank you.
Sure. I'll put you on hold. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have one more. It is 917-538.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call also.
Yeah.
My name is Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Yeah. So I would like to know, my work dynamic is so weird. Do you see, it getting any, better?
Okay. Where you are, Grace, is there like four sections of like different work areas?
Different. I have applied to other places, but I haven't really liked any of them so far.
Okay, but you're at a workspace right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So is there four different, like, areas of where you're working right now?
Yeah, there are different departments and areas.
Okay. So I feel like... I feel like you've been there long enough that you could actually ask for another department to work in, like with your expertise.
Yeah. Okay.
Would that be something that would ease your troubling, you know, situation or?
Yeah, I think that would be great, but I haven't seen an opening in the department yet. Maybe it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it is coming, but have you asked them if you could do that when the time comes?
Yeah, I have asked them. It seems possible from what feedback that I'm getting back.
So what are they saying, like, when they tell you about it or answer you?
Yeah, that it's possible.
Okay. If you moved into the place that you want to be there, do you think you would be comfortable? I mean, more comfortable.
Well, I feel that this place is very much, my experience is like it's like so dysfunctional. And mm-hmm. like, for example, the unit person saying that she has to go to my supervisor to avoid miscommunication, and there's never been a miscommunication. So I think she's concerned about her own history, and instead of talking to me directly, and just stupid things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's stupid, you know? That's petty.
Yeah, petty.
And then she told me, like, well, yeah, it has to be, I said, okay, if you think that's the way it should be done, that's fine. Just that every department does it differently, I said. And I also said, like, okay, you know, next time I have a concern about something, I will also address it to the right appropriate place, you know, because it also concerns my safety. So it's like petty
right.
back, you know.
Yeah. So, Grace, you realize you're too smart to be working there, right?
It just makes me a little like nervous on the inside to be in a place like this. Makes me nervous, but you know, anything could make me nervous. It's not like, it's just that I get so hung over these very petty, petty things. And then if
mm-hmm.
I think about it, okay, where would I like to go? I mean, I like my workload. I like everything about it. I like my work. But the petty behind the work stuff is just bizarre to me. Very bizarre.
Right.
I don't
yeah.
think I can change that, so... I don't know
well,
if gonna,
no.
there's going to be more complaints. Like, what else can they complain about, you know, because they have the time
yeah.
to complain.
I feel like, and Beth, I don't know, Beth, what you're picking up right now, but I feel like you're having to put up with a lot of stuff that you're totally – You almost know way more than these people that are working there. And you just have to put up with their, you know, incompetency, I guess. You know what I mean?
yeah, but it makes, yeah. Yeah, and then they're saying, oh, yeah, you gave clothes, which I didn't do. And then I told her, petty back, there were clothes given to so-and-so. Maybe you're talking about those clothes. Unfortunately, they were not given by me. You know, unfortunately, they were not
right.
given by me. Like, you,
yeah.
maybe that's what you're referring to, but those were not given by me. Maybe so-and-so did it. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's so sad. And I'm like, okay, can you just talk to me directly? And then she can't even talk to me directly. It has to go through my supervisor first. Like, what is that about? Like, how sad is that? Like, I don't even know who their supervisors are. They know mine. I guess that's how our
right.
department works.
Yeah. I know, right? Nobody can talk to each other. They have to report to the top of the, you know, chain.
Yeah.
And then we'll hear about it later. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll hear about it later. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, there'll be a wait list.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, I mean, that is such an inefficient way to run anything, honestly. And often
yeah.
what that, you know, that pettiness stems from is insecurity on that person's part. you know, so they're going to just pick whenever they get the chance, because they're self-conscious about their own performance. And like the whole organizational psychology is a really interesting thing to look at, because often people are miserable in their jobs and they take it out on everybody else. And that's a shame, because the whole organization would work better if everybody just, you know, pulled their own weight and everybody's happy. And, you know, of course, that would be great. But it that's not how it works, unfortunately. And because all it takes is one person to, you know, throw like a wrench into that machine and stop it. And it sounds like that person that you're talking about is the person who threw the wrench into things.
Well, one of them that works with others in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't
feel
really comfortable working in that kind of, you know, smallness of the situation. And I'm like, okay, I do like my job. It seems to be working. I need that job, you know. It just, it's on levels, it's very good to have that. But yeah, on other levels, I'm like, this is that I have to stop letting it bother me. I have to stop.
Yeah, I know,
but
right. I hear, Grace, I hear you. But I mean, do you understand that you could probably get another job that would be much better for you, much more suited to you? Have you tried to get another job?
Yeah, I
elsewhere?
Have. Yeah, I have interviewed. And I have another job that I could make full time. But I don't feel like I'm ready for that yet, to make that change yet. I could, but I don't want to give up either here. I just don't want to give up. It took me a while to get here. I don't just want to like, okay, I'm done. Yeah, I could do that, but I don't want to just give up. I feel it as a way of giving up. I don't want to give up, you know, and I also don't want to get sick or sicker, you know. Very difficult.
Right.
So,
I mean, I do see an opening coming for you at the company you're at right now, this one we're talking about. I do see something happening, like a shift. Someone's going to leave. You're going to take their job. But I want you to, I want you to be comfortable there, and I want you to be happy with how you're appreciated. And I'm not sure, you know, it's none of my business, of course.
The clients that I work with are really happy with me. Like, they say things about other people. Like, they don't know what they're doing, this and that. Like, I don't want to hear that, but they were saying that to me. And, you know, they're even telling me what they're doing, and it's not, they don't like it. And, like, they're really, the client really, like, overt about it. And I think everybody knows that I'm appreciated by the client. Then I get a lot of complaints and this and that from these people that are apparently trying to find things to pick on constantly. And that's just like, that's so petty that I find that pretty sad. While I try to like help them or work with them or try to be there, it's just very bizarre. It's just almost impossible. So now I feel like okay, I put a boundary now. Like, I don't need to. Yeah, and then this whole thing with that other person that said that she's going to continue addressing everything to my supervisor.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just,
yeah, I wouldn't like that.
That's just, I've never heard anything like that before. I just don't.
But I mean, it sounds like, Grace, they believe in you, that there are, that the people in charge there know who you are and appreciate what you're doing. So even if she goes to her supervisor, is that going to mean, I mean, so what does this mean if she goes to her supervisor? You feel threatened by that, or do you feel like, okay, she's got to go and do things by the book? And whatever she does, I don't think what she does really matters, quite frankly. I mean, what do you think?
I don't, but whatever you said about that supervisor thing, yeah, I guess what it makes me feel like I'm bad.
You feel like you're being, like, tattled on.
Yeah, a little bit. And, like, any little thing is like I'm bad. And then they did something bad, and I'm like, how is that addressed? Everybody's talking about it. Everybody. But I'm like, because.
And none of that is productive at all for anybody.
No, and I'm like, how is that being addressed? If I had made that mistake, it would have been hell for me. Hell. Literally. But they made the mistake, and how is it being addressed? Everybody's talking about it. That's the way it's being addressed.
Right. So I think the only thing that I can tell you at this point, Grace, is do you know how to clear yourself of other people's bullshit? Do you know how to do that on your own?
No, because I guess it's just like really getting to me that I'm here. I am being really good work, you know, making changes for people in their moods, you know, instead of like having a discussion session with people. It's like an uplifting session on some level. It lifts them up. And so they took away some of my tools, and I'm still able to provide whatever. So it's not really about the tools anymore. It's about the vibe, you know, that we create, which is great.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah.
And then again, I'm like, oh, it's never going to stop. It's just never going to stop. And I just feel like, oh, you go to your supervisor. Oh, this has been found in so-and-so's room. What happened? What do I know what happened? Like, who cares what happened? It's found and move on, you know? Like, it happens all the time, everywhere. It's like a very, you know, it happens once in a while. And it happened once. And I had to remove, I just said, oh, I'll remove everything, you know. And I did. It's not
right.
An exception thing that happened to me, but when it happened to me, it's like, it makes me look like, not even stupid, but like as if making a mistake is something really bad. Like, and not like, oh, I'm afraid to lose my job, which I used to be very much. But I'm learning more and more that it's really, yeah, I did make some mistakes and some were really silly. But it's a learning it's a learning process. It's not perfection, you know, it's progress. And it's almost like they don't allow progress. They want immediate perfection. They want to look good. They have to be perfect. And nobody's perfect. It's like, you know, these things are going to happen. There's all these people, different kinds of people together doing things. And so
I know. Yeah. I hear you. That's why I'm wondering.
To me, well, I can talk to you and we can have a relationship, but if somebody goes to talk to the parents of the parents and the parents, it's like the parents have to take care of the child and then the child has to behave. Like, that's just petty. And
yeah.
And I'm put in that kind of position of having to explain, but I mean, I don't know what the purpose of the whole thing is. Like, life goes on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like basically everywhere that I've been is like that. It's not anything different. Some places are even worse. Like colleagues that don't even know how to talk to each other and just say shut up and think that they are just bizarre kinds of... I'm just observing a lot of bizarre behaviors that are not adult, but are not respectful towards each other.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Maybe I have to put myself in a place where I don't care anymore, you know?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, Grace. I think you should care if you're being treated with respect and treated fairly and, you know, I mean, not dealing with idiots. That's why it's like I'm not sure why you still want to deal with that company, but you're saying that you really want to stay there. So if you really want to stay at that job, somehow you got to just, like, put those people on the back burner and just say, I don't care what they're doing. I don't care if they're going to my superior. I just have to understand that I know what I'm doing and I'm doing a good job, and just keep, you know, clear them out of your mind and just keep going forward. But I mean, I know it's hard.
Yeah, they're very controlling and trying to control everything that I do. They're saying, this is too many, this is too this is too that. And it's okay that they're saying that because, like, the end of the day, you know, I'm in charge of my work. I have to still do my job. I'm getting paid for that. So it's like, yeah, it's just a bit too intrusive and...
Well, it's unfortunate that they're making you feel the way you feel, because you sound really, like, you know, sad about it, and you don't want to be sad about it. You want to be happy in your work, and you want to be, you know, able to enjoy your job. Everybody should be able to enjoy their job, and unfortunately, I don't know about the whole world, but in this country, it seems to be like the thing is that you just work, and whether you enjoy it or not is beside the point. We're all just expected to work so that we can make money and we can pay our bills. But I mean, like, for our well-being, it's really important to advocate for yourself in the workplace. And I mean, I think the culture is changing, but it's, you know, some industries aren't keeping up necessarily. And it's like a, it's, you know, it's just like really important for us to change the way we treat employees, the way we, you know, the way we view companies and, you know, all of that stuff. I just got stabbed in the side by a cat. Sorry. but I think that, you know, one of the best things you could do is really think about, you know, what makes you happy as far as work goes, because everybody certainly deserves to be happy at work and enjoy their jobs, especially if it's a specialty.
Yeah, and it's a specialty, and I do enjoy my job. I guess it's just like don't give them anything to complain about, I guess, you know. Don't give them anything. Don't give them anything. But they'll find something, and because they're always looking for something, you know.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
I mean, you're only human. And they obviously can't understand that people are human. They have some in for you. Are you like, Grace, are you like really pretty?
I mean, I don't want to say anything like yeah or no. But what difference does it make?
You sound really pretty, though.
I think there's a lot of jealousy going on there. There's a lot of jealousy going on. You know? And, I mean, Jesus, it sucks. Grace, I would just, you know, I mean, I think you can move up quickly in that company. If you can't, I'd say abandon ship and go elsewhere, because that shit is never going to end. You know what I mean?
No, it hasn't ended for 2 years, and I even got really sick from it, you know, from the toxicity of the...
Yeah, that'll do it. I mean, really, stress will, like, stress can kill you, literally.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, I was talking about it with my friends, and, they didn't really get it. They were, like, trying to give some advice, and I was like, oh, God, this is not what I need, a Band-Aid or something, you know, like, and then that person got really sick from being very stressed about how she was being treated, and then I'm like, this is what I was talking about.
Mm.
Sometimes all you need is, like, a validation, like, yeah, this stuff really, it's not. It's just not normal.
Are you in the healthcare industry by chance?
Sorry?
Are you in the healthcare industry?
Yeah.
Ah, there's a lot of abuse that goes on in healthcare, unfortunately.
It does. It's like Well, like I said, like, I don't want to just give up because these people, because I feel like other people are getting something out of my work. They just can't manage the, they're not.
That's a shame.
Well, it's just weird to me, like, that this person would say, you know, after I stated, like, I prefer that people just talk to me so I can take care of the matter right away.
Well, that's
that,
the normal thing to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless that person can't communicate, has really weird, like, starts fighting or something, which I don't do. Like, you can just talk to me. But the fact that they have to tell the supervisor is just bizarre. Because what is that? It's just going to produce miscommunication. Just exactly what she said. That's what it's going to produce. Miscommunication. Mm-hmm. Because they can't communicate.
No.
Or they don't understand. So, God knows. They're probably doing things according to what they think is right. So I'm okay with that. But then it's just not my reality. It's just not where I'm at. And I don't want to be on that level either. So when they try to put me on that level, don't fit in that little box. So I can't do anything for them in those terms. You know, I can't. I just can't. I'm sorry. I have other things to do. I have better things to attend to.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So.
Jeez. I still think, Grace, that overall, I mean, to kind of mitigate them, just, and, you know, this is what I do to clear myself of the bullshit around me, is I just imagine that white tornado, that bright white tornado coming through my body, clearing me of anything attached to me from other people, anything that doesn't belong to me, clearing myself out, and it goes down through my whole body slowly into the down through my feet into the center of the earth. So, I mean, I think all you can do right now is clear yourself of their bullshit and remain solid yourself, and you're solid. But, I mean, just get rid of anything that doesn't belong to you, because that is what is causing you doubt and anxiety right now, because you're taking on their bullshit, and you don't have to.
And that's not healthy for you at all.
No, I'm taking on their anxiety that they want to feel or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So try what I just told you to do. You should try to do that before you get up every day. It takes like a minute. That's it. Just a minute to imagine that. That is the best way I can clear myself, and I do it like every day. Just clear yourself of their stuff and anything negative that doesn't belong to anything like that. Just clear yourself out. It's coming through you like a white tornado. Clearing out everything, going down past your feet into the center of the earth.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I guess
it's clear.
I just did it. It's just like, it's petty and it's stupid and it's insignificant. But when you're in it, it's like oh my God, it just like bothers me that there are no colleagues there that are actually and kind and helpful and want you to grow. It's more like a natural form of growing. That's not necessary.
No, it's not. No.
No, it's not necessary. So they're coming from their, you know, place of where they're at. They're at a very low vibration. So it doesn't feel good, of course, to me. That vibration that they're vibrating at is a super low frequency, and it doesn't match what I am doing there. It's like a total different thing.
Yeah.
So then I can see their level. It's more like, okay, see their level of operation. See their level of operation. It's like, I'm the unit chief, and I'm going to go to her supervisor, I'm going to talk behind her back, and then that person is going to talk to her, and then that's going to clear the air. And how would that...
Right.
How does that feel to the person that's being treated like that? Like, why can't there be a direct communication? Because she'll feel that she's wrong, or she doesn't want to be... She doesn't want to be spoken to, you know.
Right.
She doesn't
right.
be confronted. She can't handle confrontations, or so. Then I have to deal with her. Then I have to deal with her issue like this, which is what I have to deal with then.
Yeah. I hear you.
I just.
Man.
I just wish it
well, listen, great. Hope that you take what I said and you utilize it. But we have like one more caller, and I want to get to them before we end because it's going to be cut off in like 5 minutes. So, but will you please let me know what happens, like how this plays out in the future?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, please.
Bye.
Yeah, please call back and let me know. But, I mean, I think you're going to be okay, Grace. I think that, I don't know, I just see things changing and things being okay. But do let us know what happens in the future.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Great. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck, Grace.
Bye.
Okay. Beth, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. We got one more caller. I don't know who this is. It's Skype 11111. Hello? Oh. Hello? Oh, boy.
It's a ghost.
No answer. No answer. Unless it's my mother.
Could
so
be.
Skype caller.
Maybe it's Leanne.
Yeah. Yeah. Skype caller, nothing? It might, maybe fell asleep. Okay. Well, I don't hear anything. All right. So we cut Grace off to take this non-caller. Sorry, Grace. Okay. Anyways, all right. So the show is about to end now. And, but Beth, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on with me. You're a freaking excellent co-host for me.
thank you.
I appreciate your freaking intelligence and your wisdom and everything about you. So, you know.
You're too kind.
I hope. No, I'm not too kind. I'm not too kind. No, but seriously, okay, so you guys get used to Beth because she's going to be on with me quite often. No.
I love it. I actually, this is a lot of fun, so I appreciate you having me.
Oh, my God. I appreciate you. So you guys, thanks for listening tonight, and reach out. If you want to talk more, if you want to have a private reading, it's CorinneDeWinter.com. And Beth, of course, Beth Blue on Facebook. And check out our shit. And we had a really good time with you guys tonight. And Beth, once again, you're awesome, and thank you. And
so are you.
We will see you guys. Yeah. We will see you guys real soon. Probably next episode will be this coming Saturday. So hit follow and you'll know when we're going to be on and all that. So until then, good night. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Thank you, guys. We'll see you very soon. Okay.
Blown. Now appears slow winter without a fire anywhere in the heart. The wine tastes of an autumn gone or early snow. the vine growers rest by the hearth, finished with harvesting earth's blood. This wine, made from the wings of butterflies and the petals of dandelions, this is for your waiting. Love has brought you to these rooms where you sit and smoke cigarette after cigarette. The hounds wait for you to release them, and the fireplace embers grow cold and gray. Snow falls through the chimney, landing in soft ash. Out in the winter night air, where the moon is kind and gold, you step through the snow barefoot towards the blue spruce trees, where even now the birds are shifting in their nests, aware that something has not settled comfortably, that something is out of order and unnatural, aware perhaps that love has flown to a more exotic land, away from you. Habit. I'm not a poet, I'm just a guy bumming cigarettes. I don't have the talent, just the habit. From The Iceman Cometh by Eugene O'Neill. Yes, I have the habit of believing when there's nothing left to believe in. I have the habit of hope, a little scared rabbit in the face of an owl. I have that habit. Poetry is everywhere, and an overpainted woman at the bar telling me her lover burns her with cigarettes, and the loved one who doesn't recall what year it is, and the Spanish boy who carries a knife in his jeans to feel like a man. We are poetry, all. We have the habit. Skywriting, soul-searching, sick leave. Fusion, futile, fear-mongering, faceless. We are a bundle of nerves waiting for victory in a place without shelter and no reprieve.